Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. This is Lisa Anderson. Later on in the show, our own Dr. Greg Smalley is here to answer a question from someone who's concerned about a lack of emotional spark in a relationship. Then for our culture segment, the fabulous Greg Kokel, who's an apologist, a professor, he's going to be talking about The Story of Reality, his book that really encapsulates what the Bible is as one grand narrative, but what does that actually mean for our lives? He's going to hopefully explain that for us. Speaking of explaining things for us, we have a round table today. We have Anthony back. Hey, Anthony.
Hey.
Glad that we could pull you out of the recesses of the digital world to be part of. Well, I guess podcasting is digital too,
yeah, so
it's all good. Brandon is back.
Hello.
Brandon. Woo. And Elise, intern Elise, is here for her show debut. We made her do it, finally. I said, get out of that cubicle and come on down here. So, well, we're going to be actually talking about a Pew study today, why women are generally more religious than men. I absolutely hate the word religious. I like think it is just the lamest word ever because it's so milquetoast, you know? I hate it. I haven't said the word milquetoast in a long time on the Boundless show. I'm looking over at Dave, our engineer, and he basically tracks every word that I say and makes fun of me for certain ones. So
I think milquetoast occurs once every 6 months or so on the show.
No, it's been a long time.
Has it?
It's been even longer than six, I would say now. I think you're another one that has pulled those out in the
yeah.
past. So, but okay, so I kind of gave you guys a little study, a summary of the Pew research on this. And let's just talk first of all, like first impressions. Like, would you say if someone was like, women are more religious than men, would you agree, having, you know, before reading this study or what?
I would agree. Like, I've met serious Christian men before, but the number of serious Christians that I know, it's definitely a majority of women. Not just like church attendance, but a willingness to like be vulnerable and push their faith, a willingness to, I almost want to say a willingness to sort of pray in public, and then more of a willingness to sort of submit in faith, you know, and let God lead.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely noticed that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sorry, Brandon.
Yeah. Awesome.
You awesome. Loser faith people.
Really?
No.
I would probably, I think before I read this article, I'm not sure if I had really thought about it to say, oh, there's one more than the other, but I do think that men tend to be more, I'd say less relational, you know, more of that lone wolf, you know, I don't need anything to help me get through, you know, they just tend to be more independent. And so as I read through this article, it made a little bit more sense from that, maybe that submission standpoint of saying that women tend to be, even in a male-female relationship, tend to be a little bit more of the, I want to say, what's the right word? Not the follower, but they default to, you know, and so I can see in that instance where there could be a little higher of a percentage that would tend to be religious or we talk here more of a Christian persuasion.
Encountering this thesis or this statement that women are more religious generally, I'm not surprised at all because I've seen a number of other studies to that effect about church attendance and so on. Also, anecdotally, I've experienced this, seeing churches that are mostly occupied by mothers and sisters and so on, but very few husbands and brothers. I think probably to some degree it feels more like a stereotype, but to some degree it's definitely a reality. I think what it means for women to be generally more religious than men, I think a lot of that goes to like what the definition of religious is and what spiritual practice looks like. Personally, though, like emotionally, the way I react to this statement is with extreme frustration. I don't like it.
Okay, so we will get into that. But I do want to talk about that, about what religious means, because I think that does make sense. And I think that's an important distinction, because I will say that when you talk about, especially in the Western church, what religious practice looks like, it is church attendance, involvement in programs, involvement in small groups, whereas more of the men I know are kind of not of the, I don't mean to say this in a cheesy way, but like the Jesus and me mentality of like their faith is their own. They're more private about it. They practice it in different, more tends to be more intellectual ways, in some, or solitary ways, as Brandon was saying. So, but people look down on that as being, I mean, it's a weird space to be in, because at the same time, we know that we're called to community, and what does community and corporate worship look like for men in light of that? What would you, if someone came and asked you guys that, how would you respond? So how do you acquiesce to the pressure from the Western church that you're supposed to be in community? Anthony, you're a community guy.
My answer is kind of long to that. So a few thoughts. One, I think the way that sometimes we're expected to live out community goes against our maybe tribal nature as men. So I don't believe that men are inherently anti-community. Mm-hmm. I think that there are expectations put on them that go against their nature, and that there are healthy ways of living that out. Mm-hmm. So I live in a vibrant community of men, who are all religious, who are all spiritually very active, who live out their faith. And some of our most spiritual gatherings are around a campfire, just talking about real life. So I don't think that men, as a universal rule, don't want to be vulnerable, which might be considered a Christian kind of religious way to be. It's that they don't want to do it in the wrong context with the wrong people that they don't trust. That's tactically non-advantageous. Mm-hmm. So it's all about finding the right communities to live this out in. Mm-hmm. In terms of the community side of it. Mm-hmm. The word religion goes way beyond just the specifically communal aspects. But man, there's just so much to say about this. Yeah.
So do you, okay, so I want to follow it up with a question. Being a married guy, do you find that you and Christina ever are at odds about the ways that you're defining religious practice, or the way that looks for your family, or the way, you know, say like you're questioning each other's faith because you're not doing the things I thought you should be doing?
That's a fantastic question. So, like, going back to the first question, anecdotally, I lived in that family where the mom was the one who drove the spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. The dad was a lot more passive in that area. Not so much now, which is great. But, I think that comes to an important part of this conversation, which is how the enemy, I think, attacks us in places that should be our strengths. So I've definitely been guilty of, due to excuses like being busy or tired or stressed or just needing to get stuff done, not exercising, I would say, adequate like religious or spiritual leadership over my family, right? You know, a week goes by and I haven't really kind of initiated family prayer time or reading the scriptures or teaching my kids things and so on. So that I don't believe is because my nature as a man is against doing those things. That's my nature as a man and as a father and husband is to do those things, right? And it's my nature and responsibility. But it's also the place that I think that we that we're attacked spiritually, and that we can just fail. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that this these numbers show that the way that we're designed as men. Mm-hmm. I think they show other problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Thinking back to even some of my groups of friends, I feel like the connection and community that, at least for a time I was a part of, was more around accomplishment than like kind of an emotional community. So I think sometimes it's hard for men to find an emotional mm-hmm. community, which when you translate that into Christianity, it can be hard. You know, it's going to play basketball. It's going to do, you bond and you draw together, you know, accomplishing something as a group or just going out and doing something fun. It's not necessarily, let's have a Bible study, let's talk mm-hmm. about, you know, our feelings. And so I just, not that all guys shy away from it, but I think it's just, Anthony kind of hit it, if it's not the right group mm-hmm. of guys, and it takes time to build that trust. Like I'm a part of a men's group on Friday mornings, and that group is at a point where we can be vulnerable, but it didn't just happen overnight. I mean, you needed the willingness to show up to be a part of it, but it took time to build that trust. And so I think it's just not a natural thing, at least on the emotion side, to just gravitate towards that. I mean, I know there's probably some guys that do, but just in the grand scheme is
but it seems to me, Brendan, that you're pretty balanced and that you're not saying, well, I'm just going to play basketball with these guys and that's my church. I mean, you're still involved at your church. I mean, mm-hmm. you've talked about being an usher. I mean, you've chosen to plug in and be part of the corporate experience of worship.
Right.
So I think that that's a both
It is, yeah. And like you said, it's a choice. You have to make that choice to do that. And a lot of the time, it's easy to rationalize to not do it and just to say, I'm just going to exist in my little space and not engage that part of life. But as Anthony kind of hit on that, it's like a man, you're called into doing some of those things and you have to make that choice to do it.
Yeah. So at least when you say, because, you know, the ladies camp over here, we're the ones that are always saying, okay, well, that's great. Go sit around your campfire with your cigars. But how come you're not in church either? Because we can't find you. you know, and I think that's kind of what Elise is alluding to. Like when she would say, I'm going to, you know, sign up for something at church or be part of something at church. It's usually all the ladies raising their hands to do that. And then they're like, where are the men?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not necessarily that men are less spiritual or anything. But women more naturally sort of look for and jump into those emotional connections. And church is just a very easy outlet for that. Not necessarily they're not there, you know, for the right reasons as well. Mm-hmm. But they're a lot quicker to sort of like form those connections, open up in groups, volunteer, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think there's so much on the church side of this discussion. Like if we wanted to kind of home in on the church aspect of what religious life looks like. I mean, and there's been tons of great writing on this. I wish I had done the research ahead of time to bring some authors. But anyways, okay, so church is...
You'll follow up on the blog.
The way church life has been designed in many ways is not like the only way it can be done. And oftentimes it's been designed in such a way that men don't feel engaged, right? So if we're defining like religious participation as dudes sign up for one of the like volunteer opportunities and they're all go watch kids in the nursery and I don't know, like the normal list that churches have, it might not be a great way to activate men. Mm-hmm. I heard this one awesome story actually from the Focus broadcast a long time ago where the men got together. They realized that they took the call from James to help widows and children. They realized that there were single moms in their community, and they basically created this ministry in which they go like work on their yard and fix, you know, their broken whatever and
cars and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's like a completely religious, a spiritual exercise. Mm-hmm. And within churches, you know, I think we have we kind of in more and less overt ways in churches we have this idea that spiritual life is like a disembodied life, and it's just a life of sitting there and thinking the right things and not doing the right things or not worshiping with your whole embodied existence. And I think for many men that's not attractive, and it's not even theologically sound. And so worship services that allow you to engage more in different ways are I think more inclined to create a community of men that feel like they can enter in a meaningful way.
Okay, so getting away from the word just religious, for those of us that are, you know, Christ followers who want to engage in community, and even, you know, for those who are single, find people, you know, to marry eventually who are, you know, really solid in their faith and trust Christ. What would you say from the guy's perspective, what do women need to be actually looking for? If it's not looking for the guys that are holding teacups and doing book studies, whatever, how can, you know, you guys help the women out as to what truly is going to help them separate the wheat from the chaff? And then Elise, you do it for the guys, help the guys out. Like what, you know, from what you know of women, what's a good thing for men to look for? I think the car analogy is a good one. I mean, guys that are actually serving, that are putting sacrificially serving, I think that's a big deal. Yeah. Yeah, it's very easy to just go, you know, skiing on the weekend or do whatever you want.
Yeah. My now fiance, she had mentioned that to me as one, even in conversation with her friends, of like, how do I know, you know, that he has a true heart for the Lord, or how can I tell? And one of her good friends kind of had mentioned that. I mean, it's not the only thing, but to say like, look where you met him. You know, he was serving in church when you met him. And so I just think that, you know, it's easy. Anyone can talk a good game, but, you know, to really, I think, to kind of know is you have to look past what is said and look at the actions and to see, okay, they are involved. You know, they are sacrificing their time to be a part of a church or a group of people. So I think it's a good indicator. It's not the only one, but I do think it is, aside from just them telling you, because they could convince you, you know, that they're the perfect guy. And, you know, it's not that just by serving makes you that, but I think it does show some initiative.
Yeah, good point.
A couple notes. I think one for ladies to allow the men to express their spirituality, their faith, their religious practice in their own way, which isn't to say in a way that's like totally subjective and disconnected from church tradition, mm-hmm. but maybe not exactly the kind of like the rock star John Piper, I don't know, mm-hmm. expression that you might be looking for is great. Yeah. Something that's just like oftentimes...
What I always accuse Andrew Hess of.
Yeah, exactly. Like
carrying Puritans
totally.
Around and stuff.
So, yeah. So oftentimes I think like really rooted spiritual life is it looks extremely normal mm-hmm. and practical. Another important thing is I think men are at their best when they are living in a healthy community of men. And so like making sure that this guy, you know, that any guy is not a lone wolf who's totally disconnected and on his own. A guy like that is just waiting to be taken down. So a guy who's living in a strong community of men who encouraged him to in virtue and in like, you know, who encouraged him in Christ, that's essential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. All right, Elise.
I would say like probably the first thing to look out for is like women who are genuine, because there are a lot of women who get involved in the church and serve in the church either because they want friends, which isn't a horrible motivator, but it shouldn't be your primary thing, or because they're concerned with their appearance and they want to look spiritual and godly. I've had experience with both kinds of those women. So you just want to look for somebody who's serving and getting involved and opening up out of a desire to get closer to God and to make connections with other godly women, and not just, you know, oh, I need somebody to hang out with on Friday night, or, oh, you know, the guys will think I'm really spiritual, you know, if I do this or that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first thing. And then I would say, like, stability in their faith. Mm. Because a lot of women, even if they are there for the right reasons, they can have these peaks and these lows. And I would say you want to wait for somebody to sort of sort that out before you try and pursue them. Mm. I know it sounds kind of cold, but like it's just how, like,
yeah,
for your own sake.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You know, a great example of, you know, yeah, there are a lot of women, I think, and I would hope it's kind mm-hmm. of easy to spot them, but who are always the first to sign up for every group or every retreat or every, they always just want to mm-hmm. be there in the action and stuff. But yeah. How are they doing the steady yeah. day-to-day life?
And then
life
you'll go like 6 months without seeing them.
Yeah.
And then they come back right. and they're getting right again. And then it'll be 8 months.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I would say this is true for both men and women, but for women especially, because it's easier, I think it's easier for us to kind of fake it to make it, to find someone who really responds to correction well. So ladies, we're always patting each other on the back, and you're so amazing, and, you know, 500 likes on Facebook for the lamest thing that you did or didn't do. And but to actually be told, you know, here's an area where you could grow, or here's something that I need mm-hmm. to rebuke you in, quite frankly, or a sin thing that I recognized, and to have her respond to that and grow from it, I think mm-hmm. is a big, big indicator as well. So
that's connected to another super important thing, which is that the man is willing to submit to healthy spiritual authority.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's kind of it's similar to the whole living in community of men as well. But it's not like man's nature. It is his fallen nature, but it's not his like designed nature to be rebellious and to not be able to live in healthy submission. And actually, like, I think most men want to find great men to follow. And so a man who's not just at heart a rebellious teenager is super
yeah.
important.
Yeah. And I think too, that plays out in so many different ways. Like I always say, you know, this is not about you. So why are you acting like this is only like the things you want to do or the ways that you want to do stuff? Like, you know, I'll say to guys, this is often, I see this with my married friends, like, guys, you can go to the marriage conference with your wife, okay? Just do it. If she's really passionate about that and she wants you, like, why is she always like pulling you along to do it? And ladies, let your husband go out and do stuff with his guy friends on a consistent basis, and don't suck the life out of him and act mm-hmm. like you can't exist apart from him mm-hmm. being, you know, I mean, please go find your own something to do on your own, okay? And let him be with his friends and stuff. So I think it's just a great way to, you know, to show health in that too. So
yeah.
good mm-hmm. points, you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks.